plant row by row, and elope as makes your garden grow. All it takes is organic know-how to make some fertile ground. Inch by inch, box by box, Andy Lopez makes your garden rock. With Invisible Gardener Radio Talk, and don't panic, it's organic.
Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez. I'm better known as the Invisible Gardener. Those of you that know me, I know I've been doing this for a long, long, long time. And those of you that don't know me, well, where have you been? This is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I call it the radio show. I do lots of other things, and I call them Don't Panic, It's Organic. The title of my latest book is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. And I've been doing Don't Panic, It's Organic radio show. Started in 1970, I was doing, I got out of the service in 1970, so probably give me a little bit of time to relax, maybe 71, 72, 73, when I started doing the radio show, and I called it Don't Panic, It's Organic. I got the Don't Panic, It's Organic name because like the name Invisible Gardener. When I was doing the gardening for people, and I was doing my service for a long time, people would bring their kids inside and stuff like that. And they did the same thing when the pest control man would come by. But he would put up a sign, a crossbone, cross-skull thing, says do not cross for 24 hours. So then I made a sign that says do not panic. Don't panic, it's organic. That's how I got started. I would be a wealthy person right now if I had gotten into the t-shirt business. Yep. I still get sued regularly, or they attempt to sue me. They say, I'm going to take you to court. You can't use Don't Panic, It's Organic. And I said, okay, well, there's a minor problem with that. I own the copyright to it. I've been studying it, and I got a copyright lawyer and stuff. And I got a copyright lawyer. I said, well, why can't I sue them? They want to sue me. I'm the one that owns the copyright. I should be able to stop them from what they're doing and everything. And he says, well, first of all, I don't know if you all want to know about the copyright laws or not. Maybe I'll just, okay, I'll stop that because that's a long story. Anyway, today's show, I'm doing a couple of things. I'm doing controlling mosquitoes organically. I'm not sure if I know I covered it before, but with the current environmental events of the mosquitoes here in this California, and basically around the world, I want to go over the mosquito thing again with you. And then I got an email about a question on how do I convert my chemical lawn into an organic lawn. So I'm going to cover that. I'm also going to be doing an environmental alert. I call it environmental alert. Now, I've been doing environmental alerts. I actually started Don't Panic, It's Organic, was an environmental alert. Lighting some incense. I like incense. That's an environmental cleansing. So I'm going to be doing an environmental alert and talk a little bit more about climate change. But from my perspective, I have a lot of things to say about it. I'm a little bit trying to figure out how the best. It's always been that way with me. I kind of feel like I could be the guy in the corner with the sign saying the end is near. But after a while, you don't listen to him anymore. So he starts coming up with creative ways of saying the end is near. And then people don't want to hear that the end is near. They want to hear Yeah, we're so creative. We can avoid the end. We can change it, change the outcome, and survive this. You know, optimistic, all that stuff, right? So somewhere in there, you have to deal with this scenario. What's going on? And I've been yelling. I guess yelling is the right word. since I started this, more not so much on environmental issues until 80. To 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, when I started telling people, when on my show I started doing, it's the tree, it's the trees, the trees. I need a vibrator thing. I can't tell if my voice vibrates or not. I'm afraid to touch this thing over here. I got this really cool mixer board that allows me to do stuff. I happen to get the FX version, which means I can do all kinds of weird FX stuff. Last time I did that, I almost had to take the show off the air because you couldn't hear anything. It was kind of weird. It was all messed up and overmodulated and everything. And so anyway, I'm going to be doing an environmental alert today. I kind of feel we need to continue talking about the subject. And you know what I'm going to get to, go back to, right? I'm going to be talking about the soil. And let's see. So let me give you the phone number to call. Before I do that, let me push this button. A song I'm working on right now called Cosmic Spaceship. I think I'll call it The Cosmic Spaceship. This might be our theme song for the show here. Maybe, maybe not. Those of you that want this to be the theme song, not for this show, of course, is I have a show called The Cosmic Spaceship coming up after this one, and I decided to call this The Cosmic Spaceship. I might use that as a theme song for it. Maybe not. I said that already, didn't I? Okay. So let me give out the phone numbers, because after all, it's really all about talking to you and helping you through whatever it is you're going through at the moment. Hopefully it has to do with gardening and earth stuff. But like I said, earth stuff is very important. We should be talking about that. Anyway, the phone number is, I have these new glasses on, which makes reading interesting. It says 888-627-6008. That's a toll-free number. It's 888-627-6008. That's the toll-free line. A direct line is 323-744-4831. And there's two other numbers you can call. The Skype number, because we use Skype here. And Skype is 530-636-6080. That's 530-636-6080. 6-6-0-8-0. And or you can just call this use the Skype name for BBS Radio PR, all lowercase. Type that in, that'll get there here too. And then you can talk to me. I'm happy to talk to you, answer your questions. I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I have done marital problems because the husband wants to just kill that thing, you know, kill the bug or whatever. The wife says maybe we could be organic at it, and you know, he doesn't care as long as it gets done. And so the other thing I'm going to be talking about when it goes back to the soil and environmental issues alert, I'm going to be talking about, I told you last week, I'm going to be talking about carbon. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to tie in the carbon that the soil and climate change. I'm going to talk to you about carbon, the soil, and climate change and how they tie in. Okay? I wrote an article, or I write several different columns all over the place, and you can read my column on the probably if you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, my blog is where I try to publish my column up there. Everything I write, I try to publish. I say try because I'm doing so many of them nowadays that they basically go out to different newspapers and they get published. And some of them put them online. I think most of them all do have their own online version of their paper. And so you might be reading me already. A lot of you are already reading my column. I've been writing a column, like I said, for a long time. And let's see. So I wrote one of the papers I wrote was 10. It's 10 ways to kill all living beings within 50 years. I wrote that approximately, let's see, well, it was 2005, somewhere in there, maybe 2000, somewhere in there, okay? And so if you do 2000, you say 50 years, you have 2050. But I changed it. It has been modified. So instead of 10 ways to kill all living beings in 50 years, I said 25 years, and now I'm down to 20 years. It's down to 20 years in the sense that the situation is progressing along at the rate you would expect it to progress if this happens. And so what I have to say is basically simple as this is that, you know, I tell people, what's the point of talking about organic gardening, how to have a clean, healthy organic garden if we have a big, we don't have a clean, healthy earth, right? I started saying, heal the earth and you heal yourself and connect the two together. And we are, right? You can't say we're not. That's why I always talk a lot about the soil. Always goes down to the soil and the relationship we have with the soil and the relationship the earth has with the soil, the relationship all living beings have with the soil and the relationship that is going on right now with the climate change. It's exactly what's going on. It mirrors. There's a mirror thing going on between what's going on in the soil on the planet and what's going on in our soil, our body, and our, you know, in our body. So this, our soil basically being our stomach, the insides of our body, and our planet is equivalent to our bodies, right? Get it? Okay, so and it's a mirror. You can sit there and look in the mirror. The other person in that mirror is you, but it's different, right? And what happens to me happens to that mirror. And so I've always had a problem in terms of telling people, trying not to be the guy in the corner with the sign saying the end is near. Just try to be the guy in the corner with promoting organic gardening, promoting, you know, healthy living, eating, and of course promoting taking care of the earth. But it gets to be more and more obvious that what we have to really do is pay attention to the earth, pay attention to the soil, because that's the key to our survival. We cannot survive much longer if you don't have this healthy soil. You can live in a barren soil, right, but then you're going to be in like an enclosed environment. And you may have something, you may be growing in there, maybe hydroponically. Maybe you have a healthy soil inside that environment, like the biosphere. But certainly not outside. You're not going to have. I have this, let's see, I got it right over here. And I'm glad you reminded me. okay, so here is the headlines for this science file. Here it goes. Missing billions of North American birds. That's right, billions of North American birds. So it says North America, this is just North America, has lost nearly 3 billion birds since 1970. 3 billion birds in North America alone in 1970. You know, then the article goes on and explains a lot of the different types of birds, you know, and how they arrive at their study. But the bound, there's a, the, so I go right to the end, right? And he says, it's time for us to raise our voices and act and change the way we behave and then ultimately try to enact changes in society and in policy. And that's the key to it right there, is to raise our voices and to act and change the way we behave and then ultimately try to enact changes in society and in policy. So you see all the kids out there protesting, right? Well, they got their voices down pat. But they need to, change themselves. Is us old folks are going to be very hard to change. In other words, I'm happy to change. I'm happy to stop driving my car. I'm happy to stop doing anything that I do. I want to have zero footprint. I want to be totally solar, totally environmentally clean. That whole process, not an easy change. The government has to really step in. All the governments have to step in and say, this is how we're going to change. I think part of it may have to do with changing the way we deal with money, the way we deal with different level. I was going to say different types, how we deal with different within society. Some people are wealthy, some people are poor, right? So the wealthy are treated differently than the poor. There's a name for treating everybody. I'm not calling it socialism, but I'm basically talking about getting away from money and getting and keying into more of a healthy environmental survival setup where everybody knows what they want to do. But that's more of a Star Trek thing, right? For me, I started raising my voice a long time ago, and I try to help. These kids who are out there now, what they need to do is need to vote, and they also need to run for Congress themselves and be a part of the change, and so they can vote. You just got to remember that. Congress is like a giant ship. It's very difficult to make it turn. And so, we have the Earth is a giant ship, and it's very difficult to put it back on the path that we have pushed it off, without a lot of effort and time. And I tell people, even if everybody left the planet, all human beings left the planet, the Earth will still go through this change. Isn't like it's going to say, oh, everybody, the humans are gone. Fine, I can rest now. Relax and go back to. No, they're going to go. We're going to see some major changes happening. It's going to get hotter. And I explained it before, and I'm more than happy to go over it again, what that process will look, what I think is going to be happening. Okay? Because it's not just going to get hot. I wrote another article, The Ice Age Has Started. You're going to go, what? Now you're telling me the ice age has started, but it's getting hotter. Yes, it's getting hotter. The hotter it gets, the more fresh water gets evaporated, more water in the air, more fresh water, more ice. There's going to be more ice for wintertime. Think about it. Our recent wintertime has been the coldest winter we've had so far. And lots of other places, the wintertime is getting colder and lasting longer. And then, of course, what happens is as it gets hotter, it will get colder. As it gets hotter, it will get colder. It's going to go through these swings. Eventually, what will happen, it will be colder for longer and longer and longer. That's what you call an ice age, see? Eventually, there's so much ice there that very little of it is evaporating, and it changes. And what happens is the weather pattern changes, right? And I talked about before about what is it that causes the weather patterns for us to go through these different weather patterns, and I've talked to you about the Gulf Stream. I also talked to you about what happens is when fresh water, which is what icebergs are made of, so when the Earth is getting hotter and hotter and hotter, what is it that's melting? The icebergs. Icebergs are fresh water. Where is it going? Into the ocean. The ocean is salt water. So you have to understand how fresh water acts and how salt water acts and the difference between the two. It just turns out that salt water, when it gets cold, it sinks. And fresh water, when it gets cold, it just freezes. It doesn't sink. The fact that salt water sinks causes a circulation. Because when it goes up to the top, sun heats it, warms it up, right? As it goes up to as it gets colder, it rises, and it gets as it gets warm, it sinks. Because the ice is colder. Okay, I think I got that right. Let me see. Let me think about this for a second. It's one or the other. So what happens is salt water, when it gets cold, it sinks. And when it gets and then when you heat up it's not right. So when it gets cold, it rises. And when it gets heated up, it sinks. Fresh water, on the other hand, doesn't really rise or sink. It either get cold or get hot. So the fresh water, the more fresh water you add to the salt water, the less of that circulation you get. That circulation is what the Gulf Stream is made of. The Gulf Stream is created by that circulation. A larger version of that circulation happens when the cold salt water is circulated with the hot salt water, the cold salt water and the hot salt water being in the central hemisphere, and then cold salt water in the northern hemisphere. They both would meet and circulate again. They will make this infinite symbol, like a figure eight. When they meet, they will be hot, and they will circulate, get cold again, circulate. You take away that circulation, and you no longer have the weather patterns, the weather changes. And what happens is that when that slows down, it's going to get colder and colder and colder and colder and colder for longer and longer until we get our circulation back again. And there's no guarantee we're going to get our circulation back again. There's no guarantee that we're going to get the same conditions again that we've had. One of the things about all these birds missing is that they're part of the greater picture you have to see, and these it's just they're indicators that there's something going on in the environment when you have this massive die-off, and it all points to us, to human beings. Everything, it all points to human beings. The birds, you know, they're already being attacked by all the environmental changes, but they're also dying by the millions, if not billions, through humans. Roadkill alone is millions and millions of birds dying every day. Not just birds, of course, but, you know, rabbits and other creatures, deer and so forth. But, yeah, then we have recent solar energy systems. And it's not so much the solar energy systems, even though what's happening is that the solar systems, what they're doing is they don't want birds to park themselves on top of the solar panels, right? To go or try even fly over, because they fly over and they poop over all the solar panel. Or if they land on top because it's warm and cozy, and make eggs, their nest, and they've been electrifying the units, and of course they get electrocuted. And then you have the wind generators, right? They're killing millions and millions of birds. There's just birds that fly. Okay, you would think they would see and hear them and something miles and miles away, and there is a system that you can attach to the propellers that so they can hear it. Let me do this. Nice. I'm not done with it yet. I started writing music about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. Something not that long ago, but then again, you know, I'm getting old, so maybe I started writing 100 years ago. Anyway, so don't get me started, because, you know, I feel like I should get a bigger sign. Make a neon sign, maybe you know, electronic sign. I see you. We're all gonna die, you know. But on another level, we all each have to do what we can, you know. And so I decided a long time ago. Yeah, I'm just gonna stand in the corner and I'm gonna start yelling, "The end is near." But I'm gonna be very clever about how I yell, "The end is near." So I just would say, "Heal the earth and you heal yourself," realizing that if you start patient, pay attention to the earth, we'll be doing much better. You know, I try to encourage people to live healthier lifestyles mentally, spiritually, right? Which in turn affects the earth. I figured a long time ago that organic gardeners are much better caretakers of the earth than conventional gardeners are, conventional farmers. Figured that out a long time ago. Anyway, so I figured we each have to do a little bit, right? We each have to do our part. And if I can get people to switch over to organics and learn to use compost and pay attention to the soil, That helps. Even though I think we're running out of time, because see, we're just little folks. I've got lots and lots of little folks, of course. You know, all the little folks are better than. There's more of us little folks than the other folks. The other folks being corporations, businesses, countries that do nothing but harm the environment, like what's going on now in the Arctic with the melting of the glaciers and so forth, and they want to expand their, you know, between the Russians and the Chinese and the Americans want to go there and do more oil exploration and drilling, right? And even our own government is in the process of cutting back all the environmental protection, taking advantage of all the, everything we have available to us and make more money. And there's no such thing as climate change. And so I it goes back to really don't have enough time. And I'm not the kind of guy who stick my hand in the sand and go, well, okay, I should stick my hand in the sand, ignore it, maybe it'll go away. And I fully realize that by talking to you about it, that's not going to make it go away. So it's getting more and more obvious that somebody should start yelling, run. But where do you run to? so it isn't my type of nature to just say, okay, I just lie here and die. So I will do my part in helping you to heal yourself by healing your trees, by healing your soil that you live on. And helping you, your voice, helping you so that you have your voice so that you can stand up for Mother Nature. Hey, that's a good slogan. I'm going to write here. Stand up for Mother Nature. Stand up for Mother Nature. I like that. Stand up for Mother Nature. Yeah. So, the mosquito scenario thing is to me an obvious thing because as the weather gets warmer, pests are expanding their range. Not just pests, but other creatures that normally wouldn't go into the cold environment are not going into the warmer. It's warmer, so they can expand their area. It's especially true of different types of pests, and in this case, the mosquito. And it's a combination of things because it seems like the human being are very good at doing just the wrong thing at just the wrong time. I don't understand it. It has to be done on purpose. It must be that, you know, you're sticking your hand in the fire at the same time you have this stick of dynamite in your hand. You know, you're holding the stick of dynamite. That's a good time to stick that hand in the fire because it's going to blow up. But... And then you complain, right? You lost your arm, your leg. You know, look what happened. Who did this? You're going to sue. So what's happening with the mosquito is an obvious example of how crazy we are, how crazy human beings are. So here in California, they're spraying for mosquitoes. Now, you have to ask them, what are you spraying? You know, I in the papers I read, they don't tell you what they're spraying. So I feel like I should ask the paper exactly what is it that you're spraying? Oh, we're spraying blah 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 blah. Even if it was malathion or DDT, they would just change the name. Oh, we're spraying something else. We're spraying this. We're spraying that. I doubt it very much if they're spraying anything natural and organic. Okay. Really, really seriously doubt it. Whatever it is that they're spraying, they must know that if you kill 99% of the mosquitoes, that one mosquito that survives, by the way, it doesn't have to be a male or female, one mosquito can lay eggs, thousands and thousands of fertile eggs, that one mosquito that survives will be immune to whatever chemicals they're using. Duh. And so it leads me to think, well, gee, they must be doing that on purpose. You cannot be that stupid. It must be on purpose. Hey, let's use this chemical spray, knowing full well that we're then going to have to spray those, but not with this chemical, but with another chemical that we also will use. Good way to constantly be making new chemicals, and it's a good business model. Never solves a problem. You don't want to solve a problem. You want to be, and that's what the chemical companies do. Anything you buy in the store, like the famous thing that the roaches yell their name out, right? And they go, oh, it's, and they die because the company makes this product that you spray and you kill the roaches, right? They reformulate it every so often. It used to be every 4 or 5 years, every 2 years. I stopped reading. It's just how often they reformulate. But they reformulate on a regular basis so that it works. Every chemical that they formulation they come up, the roaches or whatever will find a way to mutate, evolve, and so it doesn't work. For the it won't work anymore. You have to use something else. However, in nature, there are many, many simple things that you could do that will kill the mosquitoes on contact. They can develop no immunity to it, none whatsoever. Even if it kills 99% and one survives, that one survivor will not develop an immunity to it. That's because it's Mother Nature's wisdom, the way she's made it, right? She's the greatest chemist of all, right? Will not. And guess what that is? Guess what this one thing you could do, because I wrote a book, How to Keep Mosquitoes from Biting You. And in a little word, and a tiny little underneath it says, if they can't find you, they can't bite you. So, and that is garlic. I think, hang on. Are you okay? What are you doing? Okay, I'm back. I have to keep an eye on my wife. Something happens, I have to be there for her. So it's just letting you know, something happens, I'll just stop, and the engineer will go ahead and start talking to you about his fruit trees and his mushrooms and his dogs and his cats, his neighbors, you know. but it's garlic. There's a garlic product on the market. It's actually called Garlic Barrier. The very same product. I think it might be stronger, maybe not. Maybe it's the same concentration. I looked at them both. Used them both. They're the same thing. It doesn't say that the concentration is more, but maybe it is. I'm not 100% sure. But they have another product called Mosquito Barrier. Both of which will not only kill a mosquito, but will kill any soft-bodied insect. So it'll get rid of aphids, white flies. It also works, but it won't hurt bees, won't hurt birds, beneficial insects, doesn't hurt the worm, doesn't kill do any damage to the soil, doesn't do any damage to the environment, won't hurt your dog. It protects you against ticks. One of the article I wrote about controlling Lyme disease is if they can't find you, they can't bite you. And if they can't bite you, they can't give you the disease. And there's a whole system that has evolved. And same thing with when I talk about the soil, the health of the soil. It's all an evolution thing. It has taken millions and millions of years for this whole thing to be worked out amongst all the players. You understand, right? And so... it's all tied in. And so the mosquitoes, speaking about mosquitoes, sticking to mosquitoes, right? They have evolved to find the source of food. They suck blood, right? So they're mammals. Mammals give off CO2 and a variety of other scents. It just turns out that if you're a meat eater, you give off a certain type of scent also, besides you give off a certain kind of carbon dioxide that you give off. But it's you also give off a certain scent that tells that mosquito, that's a meat eater, and that's what I want. And so you'll find in nature that non-meat-eaters don't get attacked by mosquitoes hardly at all, as opposed to meat-eaters. Think about it. And so that's one of the things. I'm not saying just give up eating meat. I'm just saying basically it's the scent that you gives off to your skin that they find. If you mask or hide that scent or change that scent, they can't find you. When I used to give a talk in Fayetteville, Arkansas, I used to go there regularly. They had an organic conference, and I would be talking. This is like I'm talking now, doing the same thing. I would tell people that think of it as they have a built-in TV that they carry on in front of you. They pull it down front over their heads, you know, and right in front of their eyes. They can tune in. So they can only see certain channels. So they're flying around, they're tuning and tuning. Bingo, this channel pops out. Oh, look, food. Okay, so that's a frequency that plant is giving off, that this bug has evolved to pick up. Because it knows if it picks up that frequency from that plant, that plant is perfect food, or the conditions is perfect for them. Either for her, the blood, right, the food that they want, the type of food that they want, or the conditions that they... If I was a mother, I would want to lay babies in a place where there's plenty of food for my kids and a good environment rather than a place that they'll die. See what I'm saying? Right? So they have developed this intuitive radar. It also, because of this frequency, it is a physical thing that can be measured. I talk a lot about bricks. Talk a lot about using a refractometer. That is the very same thing as what this insect is doing. Because this insect, this mosquito will look at the human, and that happens to be that you can use it. You don't use bricks for measuring the human body, but you do use a refractometer to measure the blood and to measure the conditions of your body. But in relationship to plants, a bug can tell the condition of the plant by looking at it. They have evolved over time. So a mosquito has evolved to tell when the animal is in the right conditions for it to take the blood, and the blood will have the right nutrition in it that it needs. See, right? And so the garlic happens to be a systemic. Garlic, reason why it kills soft body on contact is the sulfur. If when your eyes start to if you eat garlic, or if you cook garlic or crush it and use it, you'll see your eyes will sting. You'll smell what you're smelling is the sulfur of the garlic. It's a certain percentage garlic. Plus there are other chemicals in it that forms this substance that will kill. It goes into your body and disrupts your nervous systems. That depends upon, but in case of the mosquito, it's an oil, and the garlic will kill the mosquito. It will also, you can spray garlic onto a body of water. The garlic is an oil, will float on the surface of the water, and the mosquito larvae will suffocate because they will also be trying to ingest the garlic smell, the garlic odor, right? And it will get the sulfur. That's one reason why, you know, I'm always told, people always said, eat garlic. They give garlic to their pets, get garlic in their system. The problem with that, eating garlic, is that it goes through your filtration system. So by the time, so the garlic is really good for your internal mechanism, and it helps you to get rid of worms, stuff like that in your stomach. It helps to purify your blood, but it doesn't. It isn't and the sulfur is actually good for your body. Your body needs, it's one of the elements your body needs, so it uses those things. But it doesn't. It isn't the same thing as spraying it and using it in the pest control world, right? A little bit different, but so garlic can be. I learned, you know, any organic gardener, one of, you know, the things that we learn as an organic gardener is to use whatever we grow, whatever is around us, as part of our organic gardening. And if you study farming, the further back you go, you'll realize that farmers were basically organic gardeners before the chemical revolution, right? Before they invented fertilizers, you had organic fertilizers. Basically, not the type you buy in the store because they didn't have that. But even then, I bet you can go to a grocery store maybe 100 years ago and you will find that somebody's selling a bag of blood, right? Or a bag of bone meal, or a bag of hair, or any other things that can be used, are used in the garden. And so when you have a farm, you use the animals, use everything, including the animals, right? So you use the cow, use every part of it, like every part of the chicken, every part of the, right, whatever. And all those things can be broken down into and used in any combination of ways. And so garlic, like soap, I always use, I my favorite is Dr. Bronner's soap. It's a natural Castile soap. But you can make your own soap, especially if you have animals. You can make soap from animal parts. Not that hard to do. And garlic is one of the best, one of the favorite for organic gardeners because it can be used in any multiple of ways that are totally safe and yet work. And you also have to remember that if you have a problem, it's the soil you have to deal with. So, but if you're dealing with the soil and it takes time, if you're doing everything right and the soil is functioning, growing, doing this thing, you're not going to have a problem. You're not going to need to use the garlic to spray it because you're not going to have a Wi-Fi problem. You're not going to have a mosquito problem. Anytime you have any kind of these problems, it's telling you there's something wrong in the environment. That's what's really going on with the mosquitoes. That's going on with the climate change. And in the Earth's case, what's going on in the environment is human beings are the cancer, right? Human beings are the cancer that's going on in the environment that needs to be fixed, change, and that's one of the things we have to change. We have to somehow become enlightened really fast. Remember, the Aquarian Age is upon us. We are going through this transitional change from the Piscean Age to the Aquarian Age. Right now, we're going through this change. It started a few years. This is the dawning of Aquarius, right? And it's, right now, we're dab in the middle of it. We got another 20 years or so to go, at least, while we're going through this transition period. And then it could be several hundred years into the Aquarian Age before we start to understand the nature of things, the nature of our energy, the nature. And this has to, you know, I'm happy to go over it again. I have before explained how it is that, what is the Aquarian Age? What's the Piscean Age? What does it mean? Make it very simple. It has to do with the galaxy and the solar system. We travel through space. We travel through a definite cycle through this universe. And each place where we go to, the energy there is different. The frequency is different. It's like water, difference between water and air, different. So that's what the Piscean is. You have everybody's in the ocean. We're all fishes in the ocean. Our environment is water, right? And it's normal. We swim in it, we breathe it, right? But the Aquarian is the opposite. It's air, it's a water bearer, but it's air. Carries the water with it, right? But it's air, so it's a different frequency entirely. And so it's not quite that obvious in terms of true. That's why we have Aquarian Age, the Piscean Age, we have, you know, Taurian Age, we have the Cancer, Age of Cancer, so on, right? And they basically are just simple ways of saying these are different frequencies that we travel through space and through time, and energy reacts to differently, and how we deal with things are different. And so we have to this is a lesson that human beings have to learn. And this is something that's just not just human beings have to learn. Every advanced society goes through this stage. I forgot the name of the book. I read a book that basically says every advanced society goes through this age. Only few of them make it to the other end where they can go into space. It's one of the reasons why you don't run into as many advanced societies in space, you know, aside from the vastness of space, is that because very few make it through the stages where they don't destroy themselves or destroy the planet that they're on. Okay, so the controlling the mosquito thing is easy in a lot of different ways, aside from all the basic things of eating yourself, you know, the eating, being healthier. The weaker people are the ones most susceptible to it. But the garlic thing is really, really simple, really, really easy to do. You can always just make your own garlic spray. Go to a 99-cent store, get an ounce of garlic, crushed garlic, put it in a pantyhose, turn it, you tie it up into a ball that's in a gallon of water. You can even take that, put a gallon of water on your stove, bring it to a ball, Take that crushed garlic that you have in the pantyhose. You want to put it in the pantyhose because you want to filter it out and basically make it. Let it stay in the water. Bring the water to a boil. Let the pantyhose ball of garlic sit in there. Squish it a little bit. The juices come out and then strain it out. You'll find, and then you can spray that. That would work. You can buy the garlic barrier or the mosquito barrier. That'll work also too. Follow instructions. Don't use too much. I have a 100-gallon sprayer. I used a cup of it. It was way too much. Okay, that's 100 gallons. I use a cup. So you want to use a little bit. I talk a lot about making a misting system that allows you to mist the garlic. So you have a little. You should be able to smell it lightly. You can make it stronger. Make sure it also works for horseflies, for flies. And so the. But that would go a long way in helping the earth to recover because we are over polluting it. We're using chemicals left and right in the environment, and we're killing all kinds of stuff while we're at it. And the lady's question, so I'm sorry it took almost all the show for that, but the next question is how to convert my chemical lawn to an organic lawn. And the key there, as I wrote back to you, is that it's a soil. Okay, the chemical lawn. You're not going to find not one earthworm, okay? So you want earthworms. So if you dig down in there, and you find earthworms. You're doing fine. But you're not going to find any earthworm because the chemical fertilizers you've been using kills everything in there, including the earthworms. So you have basic barren soil there. You're watering a lot. It's open to all kinds of pesticides, disease. You have to spray. With one pesticides, weeds will come up like crazy because weeds grow in a minerally deficient environment. So that's what you have is a minerally deficient environment. So if you want to switch over to organic, first thing you have to do is find a good source of compost. A nice clean source of live compost. Compost has rich, that's been made from animal manure, whether it be horse manure, llama, sheep, whatever, right? You need the animal manure, you need the bacteria. The second thing you want to do is get a hold of a good organic fertilizer. I have found one that is available anywhere, and that'd be Dr. Earth. Dr. Earth is a wonderful organic fertilizer. They have a wide variety. I'm not sure if they have a lawn one, but if they have the all-purpose one, which will work just fine for the lawn. And it also comes with a nice blend of endo and ectomycorrhiza mycorrhiza. Right, so that's what you need to help bring the soil back. You can also go a little further step, like I do, is I go online and I type and I go to a couple of places like Down to Earth, Amazon. Lately, at Amazon, for example, I bought. Let me go over here. Hang on. I'm gonna go over here right now. See, I'm right over here. I told you I was gonna tell you last week some of the things that I'm buying to include in my business. So here is three things that I bought from Amazon, which I buy regularly, and I included in my super seaweed mixture. This one is called Great White. It's premium mycorrhiza, beneficial bacteria, and I can't read it. Trichoderma. It's a hard name to pronounce. It's called Great White. Okay, then the other one that I'm using is called Extreme Gardening. Increases nutrient uptake. It's a pure mycorrhiza inoculant. Okay, I get the wettable powder and it's called MYKOSWP. It's a mycos wettable powder. I make it into a spray. Okay, and spray the plants as a foliar application. In your case, spray the lawn to help the lawn come back. And then I also use another extreme product called Azos, AZOS, and it's beneficial bacteria. See, the reason why it's a natural growth promoter because it's a bacteria that eats the minerals which then becomes available to the plant. So the biggest thing about this thing here, it doesn't have the minerals, so you want to also get the minerals. So that's why I was just doing a lawn not too long ago, and basically what I added to the lawn was Dr. Earth's organic fertilizer, the all-purpose one. I also added 50 pounds of rock dust, which was a blend of different types of rock dust you need, the source of minerals. And then I added to it, I did my spray, my super seaweed spray, which has all the different types of microbial life and everything to it. So it's a blend of all those things that goes in there. And that will get to trace minerals and stuff like that back into the soil, but that takes a year or two for it to become alive. You have to have the earthworms. As a matter of fact, one of the things I would do is go out and buy some, it's called African night crawlers, plant them into your lawn, see if they can survive. You want to do top dressing of compost. 4 times a year you want to top dress your lawn. You want to aerate it. So you have to punch holes in the and there are a lot of reasons why you aerate it. You have an aerator that goes over and aerates it. It pumps, little holes are called plugs. The plugs come out. It leaves you a little space where you put your compost mixture in there. And you know, I'm a tricky guy. And what I do is that not only do I get the compost, but I get the organic fertilizer. I get the rock dust. I get a little bit of the organic fertilizer, a little bit of fertilizer. Mix it together with the compost. In this case, I use a Dr. Earth's planting mix. I find it to be an excellent type of compost. For source, there are several different types of compost, depends where you live at, you know, but Dr. Earth, they have a nice blended day, so it's called a planting mix. They also have a topsoil. I find that it's very difficult to find healthy living rich compost in the market anymore, because they don't use animal manure of any kind. And then you want to control your watering, because the city water is what kills the soil in the first place, right? One of the things, the chemical fertilizer, you have to stop. City water constantly destroys the soil, so you want to be adding this stuff on a regular basis to bring the soil back to life. Control the watering. It's better to have 2 or 3 times a week watering than every day. The watering should be a nice deep watering, so you do initial watering. If you're watering 5 times a day for 3 minutes is no good. It's better to water 2 or even 3 times, 3 or even 2 times a week for longer. The key is to run the sprinklers and watch how long it takes before it runs off. That's the time you turn it off. Eventually, that'll increase. So as your aerate is on soil, it becomes more alive and you have deeper root systems. That's the other thing. Don't cut the grass so short. Cut it a little taller. The taller the grass, the deeper the root systems, right? And you'll find that eventually it's going to take you a couple of years, but your lawn will be able to do it organically, right? And let's see. I wanted to explain real fast about carbon, because there is a relationship between carbon. See, so what happens is that the microbes in the soil take the carbon and form carbonic acid. And the carbonic acid is what breaks down the minerals, which then becomes available to the plants. So throughout the billions of years, whatever the Earth has been around, the Earth has figured out a way to recycle the carbon, feed it to the microbial, which then provides the nutrition to the plants. And so if you stop this carbon process, you're going to have a problem with the soil. If you have a problem with the soil, things start to die, and the climate change goes nuts because it's not taking the carbon. The carbon is not being taken, not being used. See what I'm saying? So you have all this carbon all of a sudden, and yeah, so we have a problem there, and it's going to take a while to fix that. And we don't have the time, so we have to stop fooling around now. We're wasting our time. And, you know, I can explain to you more what's going on, what we actually need to do. I'm going to try to see if you guys can come up with it, because we really need to just, not only just make our voice, but you need to be active. You need to say, okay, right, you don't know how to drive this vehicle. Maybe you should sit in the back seat and rather than let him drive off a cliff. Okay, so that's it for today. I'll be back next week. We still have our contest. You go to invisiblegardener.com, click on a newsletter. If you make sure you're getting my newsletter. I'm a little behind on sending. I'm not sending a newsletter every week. I send a newsletter once a month. If you haven't gotten your newsletter in 2 months or so, send me email, because I want to make sure you're on the list. It's very possible that you're not. And make sure you get the podcast. Don't panic. It's organic. You can get it either right here on bbsradio.com, or you can get it on my website, invisiblegardener.com. Just go to a radio show. Okay, so I think we're going to be coming up pretty soon with this great show here that I'm having. And a whole bunch of new music I wrote. This one. And remember, heal the earth and you heal yourself. Please stop by my website, invisiblegardener.com. Check out, you can enter the contest. Look, if you enter the contest, you automatically win. Everybody wins. And if you can't figure out how to do it, just send me an email, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. In the subject, you write, enter me in your radio show contest. I can pull it out. I'll send you an email back saying you have won. I'll give you a lifetime membership for free. You'll get my copy, my ebook version of my new book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. It won't hurt me at all if you decide you want to pay me $55 to get the $20 book instead. But you can get a $20 book and then a lifetime membership. Personally, what I would do is enter the contest, you become a member. Then you can just buy the printed version of the book for $20, see? And shipping. And you get the printed version. It's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. But you also have the email version for free if you want to. The difference is once printed, right? So check it out, invisiblegardener.com. I'll be back next week, provided the earth is still here. And then I hope to be able to start doing video streaming and to do more stuff. Right now, I'm just hanging in there, taking care of business, if you know what I mean. But I'm here for you. Let me know what I can do for you. Thank you for sending me an email and making your comments. Check out my website, invisiblegardener.com. And coming up is called the Cosmic Spaceship. I have some interesting songs for you. I hope. I think they're interesting. You never know. And I'm always open to comments, and you send them to the same place, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. So for some reason, I was cutting out earlier. So let's just play the rest of this.